Hello and welcome once again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is a outreach of the Wash and Word hand car washing business. The Wash and Word is located on Highway 11W in Churchill in the Palace Shopping Center. And my wife and I have opened up this business as a way to bring in the money that it takes to support this ministry. If you believe in Verse by Verse Bible Teaching and the importance of the entirety of God's Word being taught, we ask you to support us by simply coming by and patronizing our business. Let us work to earn the money that it takes to keep this business and this ministry going. We believe, like Paul, that the minister should work for his money. He should work to show himself approved. And we don't want to tax anybody with any kind of giving or donations or charity or tithing. We simply want the Word of God to get out there. Our motto is that we aim to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. And so these teachings are brought to you each day. You can come by the Wash and Word and turn to 107.1 FM. We play these messages for the week on a loop during open business hours. You can also go to WMCH at 8:30 Monday through Friday in the morning. We play one message per day there. And you can also go to the washandword.com website. There you can find out all the information about this business and this ministry. So let's get back into where we left off. We're in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And before we begin, I want to say a couple of things that you've probably heard before, probably don't know where they come from. But have you ever heard the phrase, a stitch in time saves nine? How about this one? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Or a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You ever wonder where these certain expressions or phrases come from or where they originate? Here's one. You ever heard the one, to the bitter end? This was said to be thought of a nautical expression describing the end of a cable that is attached to a bit. So it's the bitter end. The expression got up on the wrong side of the bed. That was a superstition, actually, that believed if you got up and stepped out of the wrong side of the bed or the side of the bed you not normally step out on, that it would bring you bad luck that day. Even nursery rhymes like Ring Around the Rosie, we see these children holding hands in a circle and singing it. If you do a study on that, all the words in the Ring Around the Rosie are an allusion to the Black Plague. And so that was sung during those times. But here's one I want to focus on that I'm taking the liberty. I don't think it came from this section of scripture, but I see a connection here, and so I'm going to make the connection. The expression is by hook or by crook. Now, I looked up the original origin, and nobody really knows, but it has something to do with Irish roots. But I think it's really fitting for what we're about to learn here in chapter 21, by hook or by crook. Now, a hook, of course, you think of a fishing hook, and you know, when you put a hook in the water with a worm, you're what? You're out to catch a fish. And a crook, well, if you ever pictured or saw pictures of old-time shepherds, and you know, they're standing there with their long beards and their robes and their what do they have in their hand? It's a staff, and it has a curve at the top. That's called a crook. So we have a fishing hook and a staff or a shepherd's hook. Have you ever stayed oceanside at a hotel? You know, you wake up in the morning and you open up the slider and you could just hear the waves. You wake up and the sun rises up on the beach, you know, if you're on the East Coast. And then you have breakfast at the beach or by the beach and you have this breakfast. I mean, it's just a great way to wake up, isn't it? Well, here the disciples are about to have what I call their biblical breakfast on the beach. So we're going to call this the briefing at Breakfast Beach. It's not a title of the sermon or anything, but it's just a title of this section right here. The Briefing at Breakfast Beach. Now, if you remember in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gave out the Great Commission. He said that all things have been rendered unto him, and therefore we are to go and make disciples out of all nations, and he promises to be with us now until the end of the age. So that's the Great Commission, and that is exactly what the ministry of the church today is supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going out, catching fish, as it were, or catching men and women for souls. And then we are to make, as Jesus said, make disciples, which is another way of saying we are to shepherd them. And so if you put those two together, we have the catching and we have the shepherding. We catch by hook and we shepherd by crook. So that's where we're tying this together, by hook and by crook. So let's take a look at verses 1 through 3, chapter 21, Gospel of John. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Let's stop right there. Now, a lot of the fishing actually was done at night in those times. And they would use a light, and it would attract the fish and be easier to catch that way. I once saw Bear Grylls from Man vs. Wild shine a light into the water to attract a fish and bopped it on the head with a stick and actually caught a fish that way. And that's an interesting parallel, if you think about it, using a light to attract fish. And isn't that what we are? In fact, the word Christian means little Christians, and Jesus said that he is the light of the world, so that makes us little lights. We are little lights, and we are used, or supposed to be used, to attract fish, which is what Jesus initially told his disciples when he saw them. He said, "I will make you fishers of men." So we are to attract people, and then, of course, when we attract them with our light, we bop them over the head with the Bible. That's, of course, taking a little bit too far, but we are to use the Bible as a way of continuing the discipleship once we hook them, as it were. Let's talk about ministry. Because you can be gifted and called and used of God to minister to others. Yet with all of our talent and our skills and our experience, even our passion, you cannot minister apart from Jesus. And that's what we see in these scriptures here. As they go off to fish, I think that they kind of had a bad attitude. I don't think it was just, "Hey, let's go fish." You know, I think it was, they were kind of depressed. They were kind of upset. You know, even though Jesus had shown themselves to them prior in the upper room, you know, some time had passed. Perhaps they were feeling a little dejected, you know, haven't heard from, and you know, Peter with perhaps a bad attitude, "I'm going fishing." The other one's like, "Yeah, you know, what's the point? Let's just get out of here. Let's just go fish." You know, perhaps that was the attitude behind it. We don't really know for sure. Some have speculated. But think about it. These fishermen, these were skilled, talented, lifelong specialists, and yet they went out and they caught nothing. And friends, that is a great analogy to attach to us as we go out and fish and catch men and women for God. We can minister in the same way. We can go out with all of our skill and passion, but without Christ, we will catch nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7 says this. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it is God who gives the increase." And so they're out there fishing without Jesus. They caught nothing. So let us do the Great Commission, but let us do it on the power and the right motive of bringing Jesus along with us. Let's take a look at verse 4 through 8. It says, "Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net over on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Let's stop there for just a second. This is almost semi-comical. Can you imagine being a fisherman? You're out all day and you catch nothing, and then somebody comes up and says, oh, why don't you throw your boat 6 feet over from where you're fishing and see if you can catch some fish? And then you could see, like, the disciples doing it. You could almost, if it wasn't Jesus, if it was anybody else, you could almost hear him laughing sarcastically on the beach. Oh my gosh, I can't believe they're actually doing it. But Jesus tells them, try the other side. And the good part about this is they obeyed him. And remember, all of their skill, they caught nothing. And so it wasn't the disciples who filled this net with their skill. What did Jesus do? Jesus summoned the fish to the net. I think I'm on to something here. In our walks with the Lord, it is the Holy Spirit that summons people to our boat, as it were, into our lighted path. As we shine the light of Christ, the Holy Spirit summons people towards us. And perhaps, hopefully, they are drawn to us by our actions and our words and our deeds, as a moth is drawn to the porch light. And that's just the thing. If your light is dim or barely shining, you are not going to draw the kind of people or the amount of people that God would originally have you do. And so the Spirit of God draws people to those whose lights are shining brightly. Spiritual thirst is the drawing of the Spirit in one's life. Everyone has a spiritual thirst within them. Unfortunately, there's a buffet style of pseudo-fulfillment for that thirst that God has put in every single person, that spiritual thirst, and only few find it in the truth of the Holy Spirit. Now, we as fishermen must also do like these disciples and learn to obey the leading of the Spirit in order that we may bring them in. I wonder how many fish we missed who simply swam away after being so close to the boat because we simply didn't obey the Lord and cast our net on the other side. Sometimes God is asking you to do something that you're just not comfortable doing. It could be something small as to just start a conversation with somebody, but we don't, and we disobey, and that fish, which was drawn to the light, has swam away. We missed the opportunity. And these fish swim close to us. They feel drawn. They were led by the Spirit. But did we love them? Did we teach them the entire truth of the Bible, not some feel-good cliche of a message? Did we throw the net of the gospel? Or did we let them just swim off by being unloving and judgmental and being a hypocrite, uncaring, or too busy? What's more is the sign to the apostles that it is the Lord who does the work, and we are privileged to take part of it. When they recognized him, they recognized that the Lord's hand was involved in this, and we do like they did. We want to get closer to him. The moment we recognize God is working in our lives, we just want to draw even closer to him. Peter, of course, jumping into the water, but the others followed behind them. And if they had caught all this fish by themselves, well, they wouldn't even care about some guy on the beach shouting out to them because they were doing fine without him. You see, God sometimes brings us spiritual dryness, that is, nights of catching no fish, so that we may be readily drawn to him. I want to end by making one more connection. Do you remember in the Gospel of Luke, there was a time when Jesus filled their nets, and remember it says that they filled them so full that the nets were breaking? And this is a different Jesus now. This is a glorified Jesus. This is them obeying a glorified Jesus, and there's a big difference. Their nets aren't breaking this time, and it's almost as if he was trying to show us that the power of doing it in our own strength, though we may draw people, but if we don't give them the fullness of the Word of God, if we don't love them, and the nets will break and the fish will be released. It is only through Jesus, the glorified risen Savior, that not only are we able to catch the fish, but our nets won't break. They hauled in this fish towards the shore, towards where Jesus was, and their nets were full and it did not break because they relied upon the Spirit's power to catch the fish. And friends, that's the difference between making disciples in the Great Commission and just going out and pretending to be Christians. And so think about that. Let that set into your mind. It is through the finished work of Christ that we're able to catch fish. Have a blessed day.